Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you've given us this opportunity to come together. You have some middle measure of time left, as people know time, for the bride. And to come together, Lord, to be one with each other, in particular with you. And we are thankful that, as Brother Branham preached, invisible union, that you might not be visible to the naked eye. The union might not be known as something that we can feel or sense or in any way apprehend by reason of the senses. We can only apprehend it by reason of the Spirit of God giving us revelation, and that only because there is that which is in us predestinated to that end. So, Lord, we accept the invisible union as reality, which it is, the presence of our God here, the same pillar of fire, the same one who led Israel and gave them their predestinated home. That same one now here, Lord, invisible to us, headship of the true church, which is the bride, which we recognize, firmly believing we're a part of it, joined together and headed by you, Lord. We honor you and trust that your word, Lord, will be coming forth as you gave it to Paul and then to the prophet William Branham, so that we, Lord, understand it according to truth and according to the way you gave it, in the measure in which you want us to have it, Lord. We would be humble and reverent before you this morning, and may your spirit, Lord, so overcome our spirits that we get out of the way, Lord, and let you have right away, that this word may come deep into our minds, into our souls, and then bring forth a fruit, Lord, not only immortality, but in the meantime, that same life which is a light set upon a hill which cannot be hidden. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were looking at this message of Brother Branham's, which was very, very important to him, and he was bringing it back in 1962 before the seals were open, and it had to do with why he was the kind of minister he was. He was explaining himself from his actions and reactions and his life as a Christian and his ministry as a prophet amongst the people. And of course we mentioned to you that since this sermon was before 1963 when the seals were open, and yet 4 years down the road from 1958 where Brother Branham began the message on serpent seed. And you remember the prophetic utterances, which is in book number 2 of the spoken word as original seed. He said the prophet will sow the entire seed of the Bible from the serpent, which was in the Garden of Eden, to the prophet in the former reign. So you'll notice there that there's a very peculiar statement he made that gives us an insight into his entire ministry. And that is that he was bringing us up from the time of the serpent, explaining exactly who and what it was, to the place where the prophet appearing in the time of the latter rain would be the prophet of the former rain, which means that he would be reteaching that which was given according to Joel, the Alpha, now revealed in the Omega. So Brother Branham was saying, well, how wonderful, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is now here revealing this same word through me, William Branham. And at the same time, he aligned himself with Moses and with Paul, saying we have not had the pillar of fire as it was with Moses for 2,000 years from Paul until this very time. And so he was setting forth to the people in about a 5-hour sermon, or however long it took, 2 sermons. And then, of course, down in Tifton, Georgia, he brought some more very, very valuable information. and you can put it all together, but you can see what Brother Branham was trying to do concerning himself personally, presenting himself as to his beliefs, as to exactly what he stood for. And, of course, when he did that, naturally he would run into the obstacle that anybody else could do the same thing. And so you have to look at this message in the light of the fact that this man was vindicated in what he said, making him an absolute and an ultimate to the people, which we are his people, according to what he preached. We are his children, the children of the prophets, and he was that prophet. So, all right, he's talking about the Bible being the Word of God. Absolutely nothing but the Word of God. Absolutely inviolate. Cannot be changed. It, no way can you reconcile it to anything else. It's just there as God gave it, how God wanted it, and it's perfect from God. And this is what he is saying then, as people would bring up various arguments, or he himself would see what is wrong. And we found on page 10 he was saying, I believe if God be the sovereign God, as he most certainly is, the eternal one, he has to see to it, it's up to him. If I want to go to heaven, to his place, it's up to him to furnish me a place where I'll know what to do, somewhere that you can lay your hand and say, this is it. And he said, do you agree with that? There's got to be that. And it's up to him. He'd be unjust otherwise. In other words, Brother Branham is saying here, the Bible must contain an infallible way whereby that man positively knows that he is in that correct way, that he will come and be allowed to join himself in heaven, if indeed there is such a place, to be in communion with God eternally, if indeed that is something that is set forth. He's saying here that whatever is set forth, that whatever is actually in the mind of God, what God wants as sovereign, and he has written to us, therefore he must have something laid out whereby we cannot err. Now you notice when Brother Branham uses the word God and sovereign and eternal, he is telling you that God being God, he does exactly what he wants to do, and when he wants to do it, he says what exactly he means. And being sovereign, he can do absolutely anything. Now, of course, you have to qualify that statement. God himself being God is limited. See, that's the thing where people don't want to understand sovereignty. Brother Branham said the trouble with man is he's always trying to put something into it. Whenever God does something, something comes forth, man wants to put something into it. And man wants to put something into the sovereignty of God. Now, let's face it. A dog is a dog is a dog. A pig is a pig is a pig. Two and two make four. God is limited by his God-headedness. He simply cannot move around like a jellyfish. He cannot have one thought then another thought that's contrary. He cannot have one motion this way and another motion that way that is contrary. You cannot change God because God cannot change himself. Now let's understand that. This is what people don't understand. So therefore they don't understand a word that cannot be changed. See? They think times and seasons, this or that. God has a mind here. And God has a mind there. That's why they don't see that the Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah of the Old. They've got a progressive religion. They've got a sort of a miserable God that was mean and feisty, and an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a hate for a hate, and a this for a that. They don't understand it was the same God that came down in the form of a man. And they don't understand now that judgment is heaping up, where once it was just an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it's even gone beyond that. because God will not be compromised. They say, well, I believe God's a love. He shouldn't do this. You see, you're putting two bits into it. See, you don't have a clue. I've preached for years in this church and showed you sermon after sermon when I was blindly preaching it, knowing I was onto something, when just one little verse in the scripture was there to set me free and one little comment that Brother Branham made. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the only conduit the Holy Ghost has is the Word. And again, Brother Branham said, how can you not help but love each other, you that have this message as a community message, and you love this Word? And again, Brother Branham said, compassion is doing the will of God, which is doing the Word of God. And that is exactly right, because God in His Word is one. And when He said, I've loved Jacob and hated Esau, He had every right to say it, and no man can say, why have you made me thus? Rise up and say, why is it this way? That kind of a God I won't believe. Then don't believe. You think you're going to destroy God, but you're not believing? Oh, how asinine can you get? Tell it to the IRS, you won't pay your taxes. Don't you understand the Bible said if a man sin against man, the judge will plead for him? We take her to a judge. But if a man sin against God, who will plead for him? See, people just don't want to realize you're dealing with an authority. See, nobody's an authority. That's why Hillary's going to make a real queen in America. She's got children's rights. You say, well, I understand what she's trying to say. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. I understand what she's trying to say, but the minute that you put it in print in America, 1,000 lawyers will descend and mess you up like you never believed you could be messed up. So I said, I'm not for gay bashing, but you give them 1 inch, and that inch will tell you that we've got to rent this building over there to them. We've got to allow them in here. We've got to ordain them. We've got to go against the Word of God. We'll close this place down. We'll burn it down. And I'll be militant. See? You know why? One thing only. Eve got from behind that word. So Brother Branham is standing here, and he's not standing here like a militant preacher, which he is, who is simply mouthing something on the grounds that he himself has got a conviction this is right. Ha! The people that believe the Koran have got a conviction they're right. See? So, Brother Branham, in preaching this sermon, we recognize he's standing there like an ordinary fundamentalist, but he is not. He is a vindicated prophet of Almighty God. When he talks about a sovereign God, he's like the Apostle Paul and like Moses, who stood face to face to the sovereign God and spoke lip to ear, face to face, and came away with the definitive revelation that even if an angel from heaven or anybody else comes down, or a cherubim or an archangel or anybody whatsoever comes and tries to change one word, that man is wrong. And the revelation stands legitimate and cannot be changed. Even though it came by a man, it is still God and cannot be changed. As the prophet said, thy word was altogether in my tongue. And God said, I'll put my words in your mouth. And Paul said, it did not come from my reasoning or by somebody else's. It came as God himself gave it. And remember, Paul was vindicated, and he stood on his vindication. And if he didn't stand on his vindication, he was not a prophet. People read the Bible, they don't even know that these men were all vindicated.
Well, Brother Baker doesn't say that there's something in here that says, Isaiah says, I'm vindicated, I did so-and-so.
Listen, Jughead. Your forefathers went to God and said, listen, God, we want it by a prophet, no longer community, no longer face-to-face. One man goes to you and one man comes back and that man's going to be vindicated. That's exactly what your forefathers said. And let me tell you right now, I know enough about God, my own personal experience, that if he came in this building and I could see him, I'd crawl under the floor as quick as I could get there. And believe me, if there wasn't a hole, I'd make one. In other words, you don't smart off with God and think, well, hallelujah. precious Lord, I can see you with your robes floating around, peeking behind the curtains. I saw the man who was face to face with God as a pillar of fire rode on the wall, and I never saw a man more terror-stricken like a hunted animal. Well, be my guest, smile and say, oh, Brother Dale, oh, Brother Dale. I've been a little nauseous recently. I hope I can miss the first two rows. Just go over the edge. See what I'm talking about? You don't make claims and you don't say things and act as though you know something. God already said every mouth is dumb before me. And there's coming a day when they're going to take every tongue and twist it right around and make you and me and every rotten sinner and every vile angel and every filthy spirit confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, which means the perfect assessment stands right there. God's own assessment, the sovereign God put out before us. Oh, there's a difference. So the church is going to come up now. All right. If I stood before the Lord and said, Lord, I was a Lutheran. The other man said, well, I was a Catholic. Well, there you're just two protesting one another. Now, what's a poor man going to do? What if the Catholic Church is right, then all the Lutherans are lost? That's true. What if all the Lutherans are right? All the Catholics are lost. Why do you think the churches are coming together? So they'll all be right. Oh, Catholics, you're not wrong. Protestants, you're not wrong. Methodists, you're not wrong. And everybody speaks a little bit in tongues. Tongues is in, I think, in every single church in the world now. The charismatics. There's your common denominator. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not spoken in tongues? And we represent our churches, and our churches say so. And we know everybody doesn't pray for the sick, everybody doesn't speak in tongues, everybody doesn't prophesy, but our church is represented, and they believe it. Therefore, so Lord, we're 100%. I never knew you. How many is he going to say to the Laodicean church age, I know you? When the Laodicean church age, exactly as it was in the days of Noah, 8 souls saved. Went up above the storm alive. Coming back with the same life, only immortalized. That's the Pentecostals. And a Pentecostal doesn't mean, hey, that's just a Pentecostal tongue stalker. That's the last stage. That's everybody, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, the whole bunch is right across the board of Laodicea. See? You've got to understand that. It's not what people think it is. Now, he says here, what if Lutherans right? Catholics are lost. See, now this is very important. There's a judgment coming. And if there's a judgment coming, there's got to be a way that is right, so you will stand in the judgment and not be blown away in the lake of fire. That's right. Because everybody's going to be there. See? There's got to be a way. Because somebody's got to stand there, because this Bible is written to people that qualify in Psalm number 1. See, blessed are the godly. So don't stand the way a sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful, for their delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law they meditate day and night. They're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See? Their leaf doesn't wither. Their fruit doesn't fall to the ground. And when judgment comes, they're not blown away. See? Because why? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And his meditation, in other words, his thoughts are concerning it. How? Concerning what's on out here that will take on another thought. From the realm of the senses. This man applies the word of God to everything. And you can see what he's telling you. He's sowing in a fertile soul the fertile word of Almighty God, and it's bearing a fruit. What you sow, you reap. That's why at the end time it's so important to sow this word and sow this word and sow this word and keep sowing it in our hearts and our minds and talking it. Some preachers are so scared they don't want their people talking it. You might give somebody a revelation. That's the stupidest thing you ever heard of. What kind of a pastor keeps his mouth shut when people could be led into sin by some woman or some man sitting in the congregation and he just stands there and won't say a thing?
the wrong revelation somewhere. Yeah. If I'm wrong as a minister teaching, I'd sooner be wrong knowing this. I get my letters and my phone calls from around the world say, Brother Bill, my life's been turned around since hearing your tapes. One man in Africa just said, I've been hearing Brother Branham for 8 solid years. He said, this changes everything. Why? Because I take it word by word and you hear me. And you know enough about what Brother Branham preached as a vindicated man from 1963 on especially, whether we're off or not. Because it was all corrected under the seals. That's where you go. See, you don't go anyplace else. Not that you put anything aside, I'm going clean back to 62. Now, see, you've got to have somewhere where that faith can take its resting place. And that's true. And at the end time, there's a major resting place. You that are troubled, rest with us. Relax. Right in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ of judgment, when the God with the left hand and the right hand stands there, separating, calling out a people, where one group of people is going to be taken into the bride, and a few standing there will never see death, and all the rest are cannon fodder or AIDS fodder and filth, where men's bodies are rotting while they're walking around. Right. Now, you got to have some resting place. And to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Now, that's exactly true. But hundreds of men have said the same thing. And hundreds of men have differed saying the same thing. Had a different opinion on what the Bible meant. See? They made the rapture the appearing. I don't believe for 15 seconds there's anybody outside of the Branhamites that have even a clue. If the appearing is actually the appearing when he himself appeared on this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit and proving his appearance was there, that he is here by what he's doing, and even the Catholic Church knows that. The old heart is pretty sharp. Her daughters are pretty stupid. Except when it comes to sex, and they're the ones that's making all the kids sex monsters while the Catholic Church is doing its dead level best to stop it. You talk about a switch. You talk about a switch. The old whore that bred all of these other whores wants to put the damper on it. Yeah, that's not a switch. Sure makes you wonder, doesn't it? Thank God I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Catholic either. I'm a Christian. My daughter back there, Rebecca, was saying, Daddy, in school we proved there are millions and millions of years this world is old. Then isn't that contradictory to the Bible? I said, no, sir, no. Well, I wouldn't say no, sir. Say, no, daughter, it isn't. Well, if the different study of rocks and formations, stalactites and stalagmites and so forth proves the drippings of water for millions of years, you know, and the minerals in them, and God said he made the heavens and earth in 124 hours. Doesn't that disprove the Bible? I said, no, not at all. If you'll notice God telling Moses. Now, Brother Branham right here lets you know that though Moses wasn't there, God is now making Moses an historian, which is simply a scribe at this particular point with absolute total recall, so that every single word can be put down exactly right. And that's exactly true, because the Scripture distinctly says when the Holy Ghost is given, and God gave himself, who is the Holy Ghost, to Moses, he'll bring all things to remembrance whatsoever have been said. So you can see where a scribe even can be so anointed to God, he can't make one little error even concerning a comma or a question mark or any punctuation, one jot or one tittle, if it is really of God. You say, well, I think we don't need to go that far. Well, I got news for you. We do need to go that far. Because punctuation can change everything. See? Now, if you'll notice God telling Moses about the Bible, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. That's something like the Big Bang. Velikovsky, worlds in collision. Certainly. Now, how long it took, that's none of our business. Then he goes ahead and begins to bring in his time of putting seed in the earth. Now, Brother Branham is now taking the Bible, the Word, the history, as given by God to Moses, and he is explaining it. There are periods. And the period with which we are acquainted is the putting of seed in the earth. Now, notice his sermon is original seed, or spoken word is the original seed. And you notice that's what we're looking at. One little statement, God created. From that point on, God said, God said, God said. Spoken word, original seed. So we're looking at this particular period of time. Then he goes ahead and begins to bring in his time of putting seed in the earth. But in the beginning, might have been hundreds of billions of trillions of years, aeons of time. But God created the heavens and the earth, period. That settles it. What's the argument? Nothing. That's the first one. See, he makes no mistakes. Paul, the great preacher, told Timothy to study to prove yourself, rightly dividing the word of God. Study it open-heartedly, and that's what I try to do. So Brother Branham is making a correct division here. There's nothing wrong with ascertaining the world itself as you study the formations of this earth and the moon, if they've been up there, and if they get to the galaxies beyond, if they ever get there, which I'm sure they never will. They might send an instrument to bore in the ground and come back, and they say, hey, if we thought this earth is old, there's something over there that's billions of times more years according to the structure of the rocks and things we bring back. So what? Nothing to it. Nothing to it. The Bible, concerning you and me, starts with the time of the earth beginning to bring forth as a habitat for man. So now that's what we're looking at here. That's dividing the word. Any other division will make you believe God did the whole thing in a 24-hour period, or six 24-hour periods. Ain't so. See, it's just not so. Even Peter tells you, a day with the Lord's 1,000 years, and Brother Branham said there's a 1,000-year period for each, meaning 6,000, and resting the seventh, which God never got. And so we're going to, we'll soon be closing out on time here when it comes to our little day upon earth, our little week upon earth. Now, with my faith in a word like that, then I cannot take some private interpretation, for the Bible states the Bible is of no private interpretation. Now, the Spirit just revealed that. Now, Brother Branham is telling you that this was almost involuntarily spoken, because he wasn't even going to say something like this. You could say, well, it's already in the Bible. Hey, there's an awful lot of things in the Bible the preacher's going to miss, until suddenly it comes to his attention, you must say this to the people. And it's not that you're diverting for any reason. You're not diverting. You're merely augmenting what you're already saying. Now, he says here, I know the scripture where it says that, but right now I don't know exactly where it is, but I'm sure it's in Peter, who said it was of no private interpretation. So if you get over here to the book of Peter, and the second chapter, 1:20, I mean the second book of Peter, chapter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now the word private in there means on one's own. In other words, all by himself, he sat there and he said, I'm going to tell you what it means. It's like that idiot many years ago when I was just a kid, about 20 years old, I guess, and you're really a kid at that age, though you think you're a grandfather or something by the amount of great wisdom and knowledge you have, although you're usually an oaf, a greenhorn, you know. And anyway, there was a lecturer came to town, and he was a spiritist. And so a friend of mine decided she would go and hear him and call his bluff if necessary. So he was explaining everything about the Bible. Now he said, the Bible is full of terminology that you don't understand, but I can help you understand it. Now he said, notice he was supposed to be born in a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. Now he said, what Bethlehem really is your stomach. Right up here. Should I see where he's coming from? You're going to bring forth Christ. Now that is not only a private interpretation, it's as stupid as the devil ever made anybody. But it is a private interpretation. In other words, the God by himself comes up with this monstrous, stupid idea. Now, let's go to the scripture and see what it really means. It is not by private interpretation. No scripture ever came and can be understood in that particular way. Paul the Apostle says, concerning the gospel that was given unto him, he said, was given by him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 11 in chapter 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Not a group of men or any one man. In other words, I did not get this by myself. I have nothing to do with this. Neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. He tells you that in that desert of Arabia, down there for that length of time, whatever it was, that God himself spoke face to face with this man and laid out the entire scheme of the Word of Almighty God so that that man with perfect recall could say exactly what God said on any subject that God wishes to bring forth or man wants to bring forth relative to it. And there was not one flaw. Now, people will think, well, my goodness me, how can that be? Well, if God Almighty is the Holy Ghost and you got a part of him, how are you going to miss it? How in the world could this miss being the real absolute Word of Almighty God? It in itself is. But do men correctly divide it? No. In the very beginning, when worship starts under Cain, Cain positively went to the Word. And remember, he correctly offered. And the Bible says that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's. So Cain's was excellent. But the Word came back, if you have not correctly divided, have you not sinned? In other words, Cain went on his own to get from the Word of God absolutely what he came up with. Abel, on the other hand, did not. He waited for God to show him. And when God showed him, he took a little lamb and cut its throat with a jagged piece of rock, or you know how you can even, you know how the heat of the earth. And you can dig in, you can find actually like glass that's been brought up from the volcanoes. It's just absolutely glass, sharp as glass, just cut through the jugular vein of the little animal, the animal died. So you see what we're looking at here now. Okay. And again, as I mentioned, in John 14, and in 26, the Holy Spirit is given to bring all things to remembrance whatsoever God has said. And also, when you look at 2 Peter. And let's go back there now. Because this, I feel, is very, very important to understand. Knowing this. First, this is the first precept. Now, get this flat. No prophecy of Scripture is ever allowed by a man to simply bring it forth and say, that's it. No way. It is not a product of man. Now watch. If you look at the first chapter, which we will not look at the whole thing, Peter here is, as Brother Branham preached, on the stature of perfect man. Now, in verse 15, he said, moreover, I will endeavor that you might be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, he's writing it down so that everybody's got the perfect record. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming, that's the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. See? For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased, you're pleased to dwell, as Brother Branham would often say. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, a word of prophecy made even more sure than that one. That's more important, that's more vital, and evidently could have many more signs of accuracy by vindication as to the preeminence of this particular thing that's coming. Now he said, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now what is he talking about here? He's talking about the revelation, the very presence of the Son of Man, which was witnessed to when they had a vision of him before his death and glorification, and the glorification that they saw was to reappear at a future date which would be even greater than the first. Now notice he says here that this is going to come at a time of darkness. It's going to be a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, which is the prophecy concerning the end time, as far as I can understand, the millennium being ushered in by the resurrection and rapture and so on. And he said, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in the time of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now he's telling you right here with this, but there were false prophets amongst the people in that day back there, and there's going to be in this time a proliferation of false teachers. So what's it going to be? There's going to be a false teaching concerning the very thing that takes place at our hour at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rising of the dead and the going away in the rapture, because they all three come together. And the teachers are going to go around the world and around the world, and they're going to teach it false. Now, the thing is this. They are teaching it false before this one comes on the scene, Brother Branham, to teach it right. So, therefore, very few are going to listen to a vindicated message. And even those that do listen are going to take it out wrong. Now, Brother Branham threw a wonderful curve. One of the best he ever threw. And the curve was, the seventh seal is not open to the public. As though the seventh seal were not open. Yet he categorically said that Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. In other words, he's telling you flat. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is going to be all over. The prophet is going to be gone, and nobody, hardly anybody knows anything about it. But what are some people running around now? They're trying to, I understand now, there's a guy from very near here going to Europe and places. And I cannot believe I'm hearing right. I'd have to maybe write him a letter and find out. But the report is that he is saying, now you've got to come to him because Brother Branham did not open the seventh seal, and he will. Well, if the seventh seal was not open, then there are six seals that opened it didn't open it, because the seventh seal keeps it shut, because there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals that held the scroll together, all wound up like a calendar, you get in the tube. All right, if there's 6 seals off and 1 seal on, it still isn't open. Now, the thing is then, if you try to open that 7th seal, apart from vindication, proving that you are the true one that is here on earth when that one from heaven comes on down, you can only do one thing. You can mutilate that seal. And everything else you have is mutilated, and God does not accept a mutilated sacrifice. If the sacrifice of Christ was ever perfect, it's perfect today. Why? For the simple reason it's the end. So every value, every virtue must come into full play and be finally exhausted as pertaining to the actual salvation of the bride. When you consider her destiny at this particular point is to glorification, which is what Adam missed and we are supposed to have. From that point on, nobody has the answers except Brother Branham gave us a simplicity answers, a further sanctification, a further, you know, moving toward the presence of God and knowing the things of Almighty God. All right. Therefore, if any inspired writer said something that is wrong, now, if anybody writing this Bible puts something in here that's wrong, then how many other parts are wrong? It's either all right or it's all wrong. Now, any other man could say that believes the Bible, just like Brother Branham. You can't make it anything else. So you say, well, What about the church is my ultimate? Well, you go to church. Fine. But which church is right? See, you have to come back again to something that faith has to rest on. And to mine, that's his faith, is resting on the Word of God, believing the Bible. That it's God's program for the people and always has been. Well, there's a million preachers believe that. You go to good Baptist, say, well, do you agree with Brother Brown? Oh, bless God, I tell you, I'm like the old lady who said, I believe everything. They say, I believe from kibber to kibber, and what's on the kibbers even? It says, Holy Bible, I believe that, yeah. That's Schofield, yeah, I believe that too. No problem. No problem. You must understand this man is speaking from vindication. You understand what I'm saying? See, listen, he's not just sermonizing. Hey, I could preach this sermon as good as he did. I'd study more books and I think my language would be better. In fact, I know preachers preach way better than Brother Brandt in books. They're 100% with what he's saying. No problem. And the majority go right to John 3:16, personal experience, and believe all the Bible. What you don't understand, believe it anyway, and then they start coaching you. What if their coaching is wrong? See, listen, the sacrifice is to no avail if the word's wrong. If you don't have the right word, I'm sorry. See, that book of Hebrews tells you flat. Book of John tells you flat. Paul tells you flat. Any place you go in the word is just flat, like that. There's no sacrifice that can put you above the word of God or away from the word of God, apart from the word of God. No. No, there's no sacrifice can put you in. You've got to come in exactly by the Word, because that was the Word that became flesh and lived and bled and died and rose again. What are you going to do? See? See, you're stuck. So, all right. He said, the Bible is God's program for the people. Always has been. In other words, what's he saying? This book is God's blueprint. And in the blueprint, he tells you every single thing to get to the ultimate. For what good is a blueprint without an ultimate? How many people have tried to make something in your lives? You know, you got to have some kind of a blueprint. Now, what if it doesn't work out? That we have the saying is back to the drawing board. How many have you heard that experience? That, I haven't heard it for a long time. But it's almost always that. Back to the drawing board. Do you think God goes back to the drawing board? That's ridiculous. He's got an ultimate. Jesus said the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now notice that. If all that's written in the scripture, now bear this in mind, because you are getting it on tape now. At the end of these tapes, you'll find I come back to that again. That's all that's in the scripture. Everything in the scripture, everything in this Bible must be fulfilled. In other words, Brother Branham said one time, it's a book of prophecy. And a book of prophecy foretells. And there's no book of prophecy if it foretells wrong. Now the trouble is, it foretells right, but people don't understand. And they have more fun dealing with Nostradamus, who isn't worth a hoot, and Mother Shipton, who was pretty good, but she just wrote poetry. And none of the people deal with the real issues of life, and it's right in here. See? All right. It's got to be fulfilled. Now let that soak in a minute, class. See? All that's in the scriptures has got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, there you are. It's got to be fulfilled. Or if it isn't, that's not the Word of God. Then if it is that isn't the Word of God, if this is not the Word of God, see, then where are we at? In other words, he's saying, look, I'm telling you everything in this book has got to be fulfilled. And I'm not just standing on the thought. That other people think the same thing. I'm standing on the fact of vindicated prophets. As he said, Jesus came according to the Scripture, but not to the understanding of the scribes and Pharisees. He did come according to Scripture. But the scribes and the Pharisees and the teacher had it a different way. What do you think is going to happen then at the hour of the presence when God vindicates, this is my beloved Son, absolutely appears now in the form of the Holy Spirit, doing even greater works than he was here in the flesh, talking about that glorious presence, and they haven't got a clue. Now, I know I've been criticized roundly because the word Persian presence, because Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody else, but that doesn't make it wrong. It is in the Bible. And Brother Branham said, and these guys don't even know today, that he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And it doesn't mean Pentecostal here. It doesn't mean Baptist here. Because William Branham said there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there's a new message, because God does not vindicate the same old tired thing. So therefore the presence is what he defined it. And he said, just think. When God sent Moses down to Israel, he did not only appear there in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared there in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today, and we have his picture. Now what are you going to do with the prophet that brings you right to Scripture right here, and Peter is saying, listen, watch out, because at the end time you're going to be taught wrong concerning the time the day star, the dawn should come, and the day star rise in your heart, which is Christ. Now how can you listen? He couldn't rise back in the first century, second, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He could only rise in the 20th century. Now what if you're taught wrong? What if you divided wrong? Where does it put you? Well, I'll tell you, you can tear your hair and say, well, to the whole thing. Walk off and blow your brains out, or go out and get drunk. If you marry like the world, you'll get a good dose of AIDS. You will. Because you'll run for women and booze. What else you got to run for? See where you're at? This is what Brother Branham is preaching. Either this is it, and he knows something nobody else knows. Just like the Apostle Paul. And as God talked to Moses, making him an historian, and remember, he never talked to Paul making him an historian. He made him entirely doctrinaire. So he, with William Branham, made him an historian and a true revealer of the truth. Or that man was vindicated somehow by a God who really didn't give a rip. Can you believe for 1 minute that God didn't give a rip on his own integrity, allowing that man to get away with a bunch of lies? Oh, come on. My wife and I even haul each other short if we think the other guy's not telling the thing exactly as it is. See, I pride myself on being a Libra, which I am. I'm fairly much in balance. I hear both sides of the story. There's almost two sides to every story. To me. My side and my side. I'm just kidding, of course. No, I mean it. There's always the two sides. Because if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. If you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. Now, that's the Scripture. That's over there in the communion service like we had last night. Now, see, listen here. He said, this Scripture's got to be fulfilled. If it isn't, it's not God's Word. Well, what was fulfilled and what wasn't fulfilled? See, Israel says right now, that virgin burst up, that's a lot of hogwash. They die for it. And they're going to be more dying for it. I've been letting little hints out all along what's going to happen to the Jews. Do you ever stop to think, what is that forest in Poland? Katyn? Katyn? What is it? Oh, come on, you ought to know some history. 15,000 Polish intelligentsia, the finest of the land, the flower of the land, the elite of the army, killed by communists. And people say, oh, my. Were there 15,000 Jews killed like that? Huh?
I know the Jews were killed.
So were thousands and thousands of Gentiles. Will the Jews let you forget about what happened to them? Say, they don't dare. What about the Poles? How many times has Poland been divided and brought down by the Krupp junk in Europe and the Krupp junk over here? Do you think their blood doesn't count before God? Now, what if the Maniac blows up now in their faces? What I'm trying to show you is this. Listen to me. The Jews, because of what they did, are asking for more pogroms and more trouble. And Brother Branham said America will turn on them. I'm not here to incite you. You better watch how you act toward every single person and not be drawn in to the circle of hate that is going to come like you have never believed is going to hit this earth and hit America. Because they will hate them. There's hatred between the blacks and the whites. There's hatred between the Hispanics. There's hatred between the blacks and the Hispanics. There's hatred between the Jews and the blacks. And there's hatred between all of us. And let's not pretend there isn't, because there is. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The world is a powder keg. It's exploding. What's going on in Europe with the Serbs and the Croats and the rest right now is based on religion and ethnics. It's an ethnic battle. It's going into genocide. That's all the world knows. We are nothing but a powder keg of hell ready to erupt at everybody's throats. We better pray to get out of here. It's not just the Jews going to be turned on, but they will, because Brother Branham said he picked them all up. It's a tragic thing that's going to happen. Say, why is it going to happen? Because they have the paper and Rome has the gold. Put it all down, the prophet told you. Both sides are making themselves what they aren't. Now the Pope and Rabin and they're all got together. Now it's going to be a hey day. You know why? Because they don't believe what the prophet said from this book. They don't believe the truth. If you think that this minority problem is going to blow away, you're entirely wrong. It is not going to blow away. Now they'll blow each other away, yeah, to a degree. But it's not going to blow away. So fortify your souls and make sure that you get everything out in the open before God. There's no hatred, malice toward anybody. There's no desire for revenge. Even to the extent when we see what is causing what, we have no part in it, though I must admit it's a great temptation. It's a sorry thing about the human race when something's written on the wall in front and you see it, that you can't react as a real Christian. I'm going to put that out there out of my mind entirely. Now, you just can't put it out and say, ignore it. You know, everybody's great. Everybody's wonderful. You just don't let it get to you. That's all I'm saying, because it's out there and it's real. As Brother Branham said, if you've got cancer, don't deny you've got cancer. You got it. Take it to God and believe he takes it away. Like he said to Sister, what's her name? I forget. Used to know her anyway. Came up from Tennessee. And when he prayed for her out front of the tabernacle, he said, Sister, I don't want you to ever let that enter your mind again. Sister Murray. And she never did. I don't know if she's living or not, but it's absolutely her incurable, deadly cancer went within just a short time. That's the time Brother Branham preached on the opening of the seals and tried to get away back to Tucson and couldn't do it. Spirit of God made him stay. Just hung around, didn't know. So finally, Sister Murray drives up with her friends. He walks out of the door. There she is. Went right to the window, rolled it down. He was waiting for her to come. Sovereign God. See, sovereign God. That's the man that God gave us to open this book to us. He's the one that put us in the clear and showed us the truth about these things. And I'm just letting you know, hey, look, let's watch it. Because the same deadly hatred that hit Egypt, and it was against the saints of God, the division. The same deadly hatred causes every division and makes everybody come against each other. Yep. I know, Shruff. We're in the midst of it. We see it all going on. It's terribly, terribly hard. But by the grace of God, we can get away from all this muck and get to the Word of God and stay with it. Let's get something that looked. Now, here he said, here. Now, all the Scripture's got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, there you are. It's got to be fulfilled. Or if it isn't, that's not God's Word. Then if it isn't that, if this thing here we're looking at isn't the Word of God, then where are we at? In other words, you could have it fulfilled, not fulfilled, this way, that way. Forget it. Let's get something that looks like God or anything we want to do. As the Bible said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. See? Now, what is Brother Branham saying here about fulfilled? You're right back to Deuteronomy 18. Before a prophet can even open his mouth and say, I am speaking for God, he must be vindicated. That's why Jesus said, if you read Moses, you've read me. Don't you know I've come, and before I said one word, I'm vindicated to be that prophet? Can't you understand that that's what you yourself required, your forefathers, and now you are here denying the very thing that you agreed to? Let me tell you, God does not let the oath of man just go by the board, especially when it's one he's entered into. Now, if you enter in by yourself and you try to con God, that's not an oath. He isn't going to listen to you. That's not legal. That's nothing. Well, you come right face to face with God like Israel did, and you make a covenant, you're going to stand by that. That's why Brother Branham talked about marriage. You made a covenant. You made a vow. And it was an absolute legal vow that was made, and you knew what you were doing. And you said, till death do you part. You want to take 2 45s and shoot each other? Now, one says, woman can't shoot the man, and the man the woman. That's not fair. What you could do is bring a bomb, and I'll light the flute while you both sit there, and then I'll run off. You see what I'm talking about? It may sound funny, but I'm deadly serious. You cannot break up. You are duty bound to follow your oath through, and by prayers and by consecration and biting your tongue and putting a seal on your lips to stand right there with the Word of God and make that marriage work, because it can work, because marriage is ordained of God. Absolutely. Don't ever get anybody fooling you. See? Now listen. Vindication proves the validity of the unfulfilled word which has just been spoken, so it cannot be fulfilled, but will be fulfilled in the day that God wants it fulfilled. Just like he said, a virgin shall bring forth a child. Fulfilled exactly as God had in his mind to fulfill it 400 years later. Now, if that is not the Word of God, then we're all lost. And if it is the Word of God, God is absolutely honor-bound honor-bound by it. God, who is the fountain of all honor, who is the beginning of all honor, that's integrity and honor, the source of all honor, who is the source of all truth, has got to stand by what he says. And if this isn't God's word, then who is God? Where is God? Or is there a God? In other words, Brother Branham is saying what the Scripture said. God is the author and the finisher of our faith, which is the revealed word. Now, the other day, last night I was using a word I should not have used, really, because it's a too extreme a word. God is capable concerning his word. He's culpable. The word culpable actually means to blame. But I was using in the sense which I should not have used, as fully responsible to bring it to pass and to maintain it. And the point is this, there is a thought in here, as Brother Branham is preaching, that if God changes his mind and does this and that, then he is culpable. You can't blame yourself. You can't blame anybody. Throw it all back on God, because he doesn't even know. You follow me? Either he does know or he doesn't know. Either he said it or he didn't say it. Either he is truthful or he is a liar. Either he will do it or he'll not do it. There is no place for vacillation. There is no place in between. There is neither variableness nor shadow of turning in our God. As it says in Scripture, he's not a man that he should change his mind. And again, it says God is not a man to change his mind, else you sons of Jacob would be annihilated. You'd be blotted out. So, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, where this sermon is so appropriate. In verse 13, and unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, which is a Laodicea, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Just take the first word. Thus saith the Amen. What does Amen be? Amen says this is the truth. This is the truth. That's exactly what Amen means. So let it be. This is right. You understand what I said? All right. If you understand that, let's go to Isaiah 65 and 16. Now, this is a great chapter here, but the verses we're reading, it shows the two-handed, the two-fisted God. Never forget. Left hand and right hand, blessing and cursing. Never forget that when you read Scripture. If you forget that, you are completely washed out. Because you'll begin thinking, oh, this could vacillate. Hey, I got to do this. Hey, I got to do that. This depends on me. Listen, the Word of God does not depend on you, my brother, my sister. The Word of God distinctly says it doesn't. The Word of God depends on Almighty God. And this tells you of the person that has the Word revealed and is a true Word child, and the other fellow that's not. So up above here he's talking. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart. 14th verse. He shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. That's exactly what's happening. All of those things can happen. And you shall have your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord shall slay thee, and call his servant by another name. Now watch, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from thine eyes. Now it tells you right here that there are people going to be swearing by the name of Almighty God. It's not going to do them any good. They have little idols they pack and they carry around. It isn't going to do them any good. Now we don't have to swear at all. We have the absolute assurance here that the God of truth, which he is, the God of the Amen, which means the God of truth, absolutely is going to take care of his bride. And at that time, the former troubles are going to cease. Isn't that exactly what Paul said? You that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be from heaven. There is a time that the God of truth comes on the scene. And that's the time that he's two-fisted. Left hand, right hand, blessing, cursing, separating. And the Word is the separator. Afterward, geography is going to be your separator. You understand what I'm saying? It was the Word that separated Moses and the Israelites from Egypt. As God fulfilled it. It was the Word that took them into the land. And had they listened to that Word and been in a position physically and spiritually to carry it out, they would still be there with all the blessing and glory upon them. But you see, they disobeyed right off the bat. Now what's happening in our hour? The God of truth has appeared on the scene. And the separation has occurred. And now it is a physical separation from church, bride coming out of the church. And the other separation coming up will soon be a physical separation again, which means we're going to be glorified and the saints of God stand on the earth. And the third one is a second geographical because we're caught up in the air to the wedding supper. See, look, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. It's the people that interpret it. Now, remember, there was a leeway until this hour, but not anymore. Because once the Word becomes totally revealed, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for a judgment. Now, if he is here with fearful judgment, and he is, then the sacrifice is absolutely useless to the people apart from the Word. And that's why Brother Branham said, nothing outside this message comes to light. Now, you put that down and remember, and don't just sit here, just say, well, it's a nice little church, and I kind of like the folk. We have dinner every other Sunday and so on. You know, I get along. You just forget that nonsense. You're here for one reason, to have your minds renewed and your lives changed. You're here to get instruction in the Word of Almighty God, to know where you're standing. I'm taking scripture after scripture and showing you exactly what the prophet said. And remember, the prophet is God to the people. Well, you say, oh, Brother Branham, I feel it, the heathen can feel things like that and just rely on idols. Traveling does something to you when you see it yourself. So, well, look, I see this, yes. I believe because I was changed, yes, because. He said, I do that too. Remember, heathen do the same thing. Consider the morals of Africa. Some of those tribes would make Americans here that call themselves Christians feel ashamed of themselves. The morals and cleanness among the people who worship heathen idols. So maybe that's God. See what I mean? You see, when you look at the things in the face, it's a great big circle here you've got to cover. So you've got to have somewhere to come back and place your hands. In other words, you've got to have a tie post. Now, in other words, truth has to be vindicated. Because you can imitate anything. Remember the time I told you, Brother Branham and I locked horns over the baptism of the Holy Ghost evidence? I was Pentecostal still, and I figured tongues was a pretty good bet. Well, he was getting it pretty rough to me, and so finally I said, Brother Branham, you say love is the evidence. Yes, Brother Bill, that's the evidence. I said, okay, would you agree with me then that the greatest evidence of love is to give your body, to give your life and death and us? That's a great evidence. I said, my Bible tells me I can give my body even be burned and don't have love. What are you going to do now? He closed his Bible. Later on, he chickened. He said he was tired. I don't care how tired he get, he was wrong. He had to come to church and apologize several years later and admit he was wrong. What is the evidence? Believing the word for the hour. Absolutely. So you see, where do all these things go that people talk about? You know? This is the evidence. That's the evidence. This is it. That's it. Hey, it's got to be in the Bible. See? And it is in the Bible, but when men begin to argue, there's got to be some kind of vindication. And just being smart, and being a martyr, and being this, and being that, doesn't do it. You better not try to have a private interpretation, but you better have this Word of God revealed by God. Now, in this last hour, we're getting it, and that's the reason only 8 souls make it. Do you understand where we're coming from? People still don't believe in vindication. I remember I was in a church some time back, and I hit hard on vindication. And a certain person, very nice person, I would never fault that person for one single solitary minute. But the person came and said to my wife, now, you know, I appreciate what Brother Vail said, but you know, we believe that. In other words, why do I preach it? Why do I keep preaching to you guys? Because I know stinking well if I don't, you're going to slip. Because William Branham did 80% of the time. See, I'm going to follow the man that's the leader. If he spent that kind of time, I'm going to spend that kind of time because I need it. See, every time I preach it, you ought to know it like you didn't know it before. Now, take the Lutherans. They claim. But they fail. The Catholics, they make their claims. They fail. The Baptists, Pentecostals, they all fail. So you can't put any confidence in them. That's as organizations, seeing denominations with their creeds and what have you. But there's not one thing written in this Bible but what God has proved by somebody, that it is the truth. It is the truth. As I've often said, maybe my faith won't climb where Enoch climbed, but I certainly wouldn't stand in anybody's way that could climb there. Great faith. Now, getting this background, that's the reason why I believe the Bible, and that's where I take my text. The next thing I want to say is I do not believe the Bible contradicts itself. So we're going to close there, because Brother Branham says, now, look, the Bible is the Word of God. And he said, let's face it, somebody at some time has proven this Word to be correct. And Brother Branham, in his own day, has proven the correctness of the Word for this hour by vindication, giving us that perfect faith that could not be had until the very end. Now remember, those that went before us are in their theophonic form. No doubt they have memories that you and I will not have until we have that form. They are they in a state of perfection. But they without us cannot be made perfect, and we are being made perfect now, even though we did not have that Word body to start with, that true spirit body, but put in a body of flesh to be tested and tried and did fall, because we were tried, now by the power of the Holy Ghost and the presence of Almighty God Himself, bringing the whole thing to conclusion, we are now standing perfect in His sight, for He declared, you are the perfect, righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. I'm going to tell you something. This is what this message is about. It's not a man simply standing up like a Baptist, or like some Pentecostal, or somebody or something. It's a man standing right there and telling, I want to tell you right now, this Bible is 100% God, and I'm the one to prove it. Yes, sir. Stood so far as to say, if Abraham Lincoln was required to be raised from the dead by my hand, or George Washington, I'd go right to their grave. I'd go right to the site of the tomb. I would stand there and call in the arms of the earth. I'd broadcast it around the heavens. I'd put in every newspaper, every radio, every television. There wouldn't be one person, as far as I know, in China, Africa, you name it, who wouldn't know that I'm going to raise him. Send your army. Send any man you want. If it isn't done, shoot me. Do you realize that's the kind of faith you got today? It wasn't required of you. It was given to you and to me. That is our faith. If we don't make the rapture believing this, as true sons of God receiving the correct revelation, then send us to the lake of fire. Annihilate us. Are you sitting here this morning thinking maybe there might be something down the road you could squeeze into? I wouldn't give you two bits for it. And trust me to be rotten enough to laugh in your faces when you fail. Oh, I won't really do it. But don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Hey, man, I've had visions. Sensations like you cannot believe. Dreams with the impact of vision. Discernment that makes these guys running around today look absolutely sick. And I mean it. I'm not kidding you. Miracles of healing. And I could pray the prayer of faith. And say to the person, you're against it in my way. Just pretend you're not even here. Let my faith carry on. See what happens. Where are the people praying the prayer of faith even? And you know what? When it comes to this, complete zilch, wash up. A guy that would take the signs that follow the word and build a ministry that Almighty God could say to me on that day, depart from me. I never knew. But hold it, Lord. That person over there, that baby with the hydrocephalus, well, a waterhead baby. Remember, I prayed for him. I used my faith. The miracles people saw and the doctor saw. I was sincere. I was proving it. Proving the facts of a ministry. Get out of my way. Yeah. Well, Brother Vail, I'm not prepared to take that kind of a stand. Well, I've already taken mine. I honestly before God, anymore I don't know what was of God and what was of God concerning Lee Vail. All I know is this. I believe that. So, that's all I can tell you. That's why I scream, jump up and down, yell, vindication, vindication, vindication. When the great judgment day comes, at least Bill Branham will shake my hand and say, Lee, there's one thing you did. You sure preached vindication. You're wrong, kid, but at least you preached vindication. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Branham. I don't make him Lord, but thank you, Lord. I had the privilege of at least shaking his hand on judgment day. Where's vindication, brother, sister? Say, man, you got funny ideas, yeah? I never got them from you, kid. Don't worry. You're free. You don't take blame for myself. But something in my heart said, almost like a voice, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man you listen to. And I believe I heard God. And I believe I heard from God. I believe it was God using a human voice. Just like it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, someone descended with a shout. It was somebody else's voice. and to put the church in order. And it began by putting our minds and our hearts in order. What a blessed day is coming, brother, sister. I believe it with all my heart. One of these days we're going to flow together like Pentecostals talk about it, jump up and down about it, say they've got it. And I'm not saying it's not a marvelous facsimile, but it's still not real. Because the same people would destroy the word of Almighty God by their own idolatrous thoughts. Here lies what an idol is. It's something that takes the place of God. It's a phony. It's a counterfeit. Idols have words. It's a perverted word of God. That's why Brother Branham said any Trinitarian is an idolater. And he said Methodist, Baptist, witchcraft. Well, let's rise. Talking any longer is not going to do the job. I don't know when we'll get together on this again, but at least you can continue from where I'm leaving off here. It's a nice subject. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us. And Lord, I admit that I may be a little like a little child prattling off in a corner, prattling off my mouth, liking the sound of my own tongue. But Lord, there's one thing that you know and I know, and that is when it comes to vindication, that's the theme that I have in my heart. And I would certainly believe, Lord, because it was in the heart of the prophet, he took that time with it and everything was viewed from the viewpoint of vindication. No private interpretation, not a man on his own, but a man who was not his own and owned by God, like the Apostle Paul brought us the revelation from you who came to him face to face in the pillar of fire. Lord, it couldn't be any other way. And even if I was part hypocrite saying this, I got to admit that it really couldn't be any other way. Because it would have to be somebody stepping in there. It couldn't be the man. As Brother Branham said himself, it wasn't William Branham who said, "Thus saith the Lord." It wasn't William Branham who healed that child of leukemia. It wasn't William Branham who says those things that come to pass ever so perfectly. No, no. It wasn't the messenger. It wasn't the angel. No, no. It was God. It was the Son of Man. In that particular hour we've had, Lord, I appreciate that and I believe that the best I can. I know I'm limited, but you're not, Lord. And if you want to open up more to me and to the people here, you want us to have more. Perhaps this is what the ministry is all about for me and the people here. Could well be. I certainly am not carping and I'm not criticizing. I'm just tremendously grateful that I feel that you have shown us the things that the prophet taught. That there is a absolute reality, what he said. And that reality is the word that was given by infallible men who had the infallible word. And they that themselves were fallible, but became infallible because of you. And that puts us in the same place, the children of the prophets. Same bloodline, same genes. Puts us all in that area. And that's the most fabulous thing, Lord. I believe that's why the prophet could believe and say at the time he prayed so often for the sick, "Let there not be one feeble one amongst us." And Lord, we're looking and trusting, and we're not trying to make it happen. There's no way we could anyway. But we're trusting, Lord, that very, very soon the remaining veil should be lifted, Lord, which is the veil of death. And we'll see our loved ones standing upon the earth here, and the veil of flesh will be lifted and we'll be made immortal. And coming together for those blessed days until we come to that great day of the ascension and the wedding supper. Father, I don't really have a clue what it's all about. I don't have a feeling about it except it's there. But I know one thing I didn't have really a clue about, Brother Branham, the message and the word coming. And there it came and I was very happy with it. And not nearly as happy as I'm going to be in the people that receive. And one day, Lord, when all those clouds are lifted, all the veils lifted, all the mists are rolled away, and we're standing there. Same thing Job looked for, Lord. That's ours also coming up. It's somebody's, and we're counting ourselves part of it. We've just got to. Because, as the prophet said, you made a way for. And we're taking that way by the grace of God, that we're believing as he believed. And we come to that perfection of faith, the perfect faith. And we've seen it manifested to some degree. So we do appreciate and love you this morning, Lord. And may that love increase and abound. And the things of God materialize more and more. And not only materialize, Father, but they supersede everything in this life. As the inner man is being renewed and the outer man perishing, that's just fine, that's great. All these things, Lord, we admit to. Now may we admit to them in grace and faith and love and respect and honor unto you, the great one. And unto thee we'll give the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.